phone lines on hold for a few minutes as we welcome to the program Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th Legislative District, Walla Walla, to the show. Good afternoon to you, Senator Dozier. How are you?
Hey, you know, I'm doing really good. We got 3 days left.
It seems that there's been a little tete-a-tete between Governor Jay Inslee and Governor Brad Little of Idaho. I know that doesn't come as a surprise. Oh, yeah. It's not the first time the two of them have sparred over things, legislation in each state. This one coming on the heels of the governor asking our governor, asking their governor to not sign their bill. It was House Bill 242, I think. That was nicknamed the abortion trafficking bill. Well, Governor Little responded earlier today into Governor Inslee's letter by saying, why wouldn't you want to protect minors and have parents know what's going to happen to their children? Is this something that you see that's going to escalate between the two states? Because this particular bill seems to be... this seems to have struck a bit of an animus between both executives.
That's absolutely right. I read both of those letters. Matter of fact, just recently here within the last, I think, a couple of hours, I saw Governor Little's response back to Governor Inslee and reread Governor Inslee's original letter. And it really looks like almost a turf war, I'll tell you. If you look at some of the laws that that have just been passed here in Washington State, and you know, if you could almost back this up based on Inslee's letter, where he is referencing the COVID and how they will treat the people in Idaho that have COVID and have to come over to Washington State. This is just kind of a spillover from that, is the way I kind of read it into the letter between the two. And you can see that with some of the bills that have been passed. When you look at 5599, that there's a good example of it, where youth seeking, I think they put it as reproductive care, transgender services to altering services for these kids, or even abortion, that had to do with 5599, where they, you know, go to shelters and their parents aren't notified, or even when we look at the SHIELD Act that was just recently passed. It is turning into a turf war, it looks like.
You know, let's touch a little bit. Well, we talked quite a bit about Senate Bill 5599, but let's turn our attention to the budget, Senator Dozier, because Republicans have been involved in the budgetary process in the Senate side. They've not on the House side. So we know that the increase in the property tax threshold looks like it is not going to advance in the Senate, but it appears that the REIT tax is still alive for Democrats in the House. Is there a feeling, or is there sentiment, that the senators on the Democrat side will accept that increase in the REIT tax when they look to concur on the budget, or are Senate Democrats hesitant to accept any type of a tax increase right now?
Well, kind of what I'm hearing is that we know that Senator Peterson basically said 5770, the property tax increase, is dead. I think there is still somewhat of a feeling that Democrats need to raise taxes for some reason. And it's almost like that the increase in REIT might be that avenue to make them feel like they've increased a tax to try to help with affordable housing, where it's going to go to. But obviously you don't address affordable housing by making it more expensive on housing costs. But that's still warm out there. We're still waiting to see that possibly surface. Like I say, we've got 3 days left, and it's going to be interesting here. I think we're going to find out a lot more come tomorrow, in another 16 hours, to see where things are headed, if that bill does surface. But It is by no way, there's not cold water thrown on it, in my opinion, at this point right now.
We're talking with Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th District, Walla Walla here on The Bottom Line.
Wanted to ask you something, kind of speaking of bills, as we get down to the 11th hour. I know the Senate passed the rules saying that they would not originate any title-only bills, but they did not say they wouldn't accept them from the House. And I just thought, you know, well, let's do a little housekeeping. Have there been any title-only bills that have floated over these last few days?
No, I'll tell you that I expected this week to be quite a bit more action-packed and filled with longer days than what we've had thus far. Things have moved along fairly well. Just a few little slowdown on some bills. Obviously, when the assault weapons came up again the other day, that was about another hour on it after we spent 3 hours on it Saturday ago, right before Easter. But other than that, most everything has been going along. I have not heard that there is something that's going to jump up and surprise us. We still know that we have the Blake bill out there. And that's hanging out there. That may come out tomorrow. But yeah, there's, as for terrible ones waiting to come, I have not heard that is there yet. But again, you know, we've got to see what Friday's going to bring.
You mean there's actually a level of crud bill exhaustion in the majority party?
You know, Rob, this is only my third session, but I honestly thought this last few days was going to be long, long days again, and I'm just not seeing that happening right now with this. It's pretty amazing, and you know, of our three major budgets, they're finished up. The budget negotiators are done with it. It's just a matter now of getting them on the bar and voting on them, and which that really surprised me too. You know, last year on the last day on sine die, we were in session till midnight. So this has been surprising so far.
But there's only a few days left. So when are we going to see something on the budget?
My guess, probably Saturday at the soonest. And they may all just come on Friday, on Sunday. But it's my understanding, I haven't heard any details on them. They haven't been released yet. The only thing that I've heard is that the negotiations are done between the House and the Senate on all three budgets, the capital, the operating, and transportation.
Well, we have a lot to look forward to then.
I think you have, but there'll be a lot of news coming out this weekend.
I would fully expect so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So, and hopefully we'll get something done good on Blake. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a true fix for it to the level that I think it needs to be and that I think our caucus thinks it needs to be. But ultimately, as you know, something has to be done, because if we don't get anything done, then come July, it goes back to the Supreme Court's decision on the decision they made 2 years ago.
It seems that there are some in the majority party that would like to see a fix to Blake, but it also seems like there is a portion of that party that also would like to see it go back to the Supreme Court's decision.
I agree with you. I think, you know, it got rolled back from when we passed it out of the Senate for being a gross misdemeanor, got rolled back to a misdemeanor. And so I think we're in that zone again. We couldn't even, as an amendment, get fentanyl as a felony on it, which we know fentanyl is killing more people. It's become a huge epidemic in this state and across this nation. And to not be able to even get an amendment on this bill that would at least say, okay, let's make possession of fentanyl or selling fentanyl a felony, we couldn't even get that. So, you know, I guess you could look at it and say if we got it back up to a gross misdemeanor, then it's a win compared to where it was some of this possession is a misdemeanor. But I think we're still not doing the service to the people that have these problems with getting them the treatment they need. And even at times, you know, incarceration still has to be on the table for this. I mean, you can't just get a slap on the wrist. I mean, if you agree to do some of the things for rehab, you know, then maybe you wouldn't have to be incarcerated. But you can't just take that off the board.
We're talking with Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Overall, Senator, as you begin to reflect back, because there's a couple of pieces of business left to do, but most discussed bills have already been passed. We saw that House Bill 1240 wound up, the amendment proposed by Senator Wagner was pulled out. And that impacts active and retired military. So I guess explain for our audience why active and retired military who don't have a choice, active military do not necessarily have a choice whether they are stationed in Washington or not, or transferred to Washington State, why there would not be an exception granted for active military, but one other senator's amendment that would allow you to move from Washington State with your gun and come back with the same gun if you return to the state, why that amendment was capped, but active military is penalized.
I don't know why the opposite party, the majority party, the Democrats, didn't support our active military with this. I mean, there was some very good war speeches by some of our members that have been in the military and that could talk, you know, about the experience and everything. But there is such a disdain for the majority side on firearms that it doesn't matter if it's private individuals or if it's military. They think that this bill is going to be the fix for everything, and then we should have none of these semi-automatic guns at all.
Did anyone remind them that criminals don't obey the law?
Multiple times. And this is just taking away from the law-abiding citizens their right to own arms. And I don't think it's going to all of a sudden get rid of these murders that are taking place with weapons at all.
Well, no, Senator, and I agree with you in that sentiment, particularly when you've done nothing in the session to increase penalties for the illegal use of firearms or for possessing a gun illegally or for using a gun in a commission of a crime. There have been no enhancements on those penalties, no increases on sentences, no deterrent, other than you're telling people who want to go through the legal process of owning a gun, we're not going to allow you to buy these.
Mm-hmm. I even recall, I think, I believe we had an amendment that would make, you would be charged with a felony if you had a stolen, one of these stolen guns and committed a murder, it would be a felony. And that didn't even stick. So,
it would seem.
We didn't have a whole lot of luck with amendments on this.
It would seem if you want to eradicate gun violence that you would go with something like that to help put people in prison or increase sentences on individuals who choose to use a gun to commit a violent crime.
Right. Absolutely. It's like I say, I mean, if you take the total amount of time that we spent on 1420, it was well over 4 hours and nothing absolutely changed with the majority Democrat Party's position on this bill.
Well, Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th District, Walla Walla, we appreciate your time this afternoon, sir. Thank you very much for joining us, and looking forward to hearing about some of that news coming out over the weekend. We'll cross our fingers.
Very good. Thank you very much, Robin John, and we'll see you in person here sometime.